Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of the prophet Isaiah, that which was our second scripture reading, Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 22. Isaiah chapter 45 verse 22. And these tremendous words. Isaiah 45 verse 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And our subject, very simply this morning, is the look that saves. The look that saves. Well, we come to these wonderful words this morning in this wonderful book of the prophet Isaiah. And some of you will know that we are studying this book together in our midweek Bible study every Wednesday evening, 7:30. You're all welcome. You're all invited to come in the middle of the week. And we are certainly being very greatly blessed as we work our way through this book. But equally, many of you will know that this is an Old Testament book that we often turn to in our morning evangelistic services, because it is the prophet Isaiah of all the Old Testament prophets. It's the prophet Isaiah who has the clearest view of the gospel message. He has the clearest view of the Lord Jesus Christ, even though he himself lived 700 years before the birth of Christ. He was blessed with very specific details. As we read through the book of the prophet Isaiah, we see that he knew specific details of his birth, of his life, of his death, why the Lord Jesus Christ died. It's almost as though he personally knew the Lord. And well, in a sense he did. You could say that in a sense he did know the Lord, because he had faith. He was a man of faith. He had faith in the promises of God, that God would send a Savior, a Messiah. And that's how he knew the Lord. That's how he had this insight, even though he lived so long before the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And by the way, it's the same for us. The prophet Isaiah, he lived 700 years before Christ, and yet he knew Christ, and we live 2,000 years after the birth of Christ, and yet we too can know Christ in the same way, as though he is physically with us. But it is by faith. We live by faith. The just shall live by faith. We believe in him, and we can know all the blessings of his salvation, even though in time we are so far removed from the Lord. So the faith that Isaiah had and the faith that we have, or so many of us here have, is the same. And we know the Lord, and we know who he is, and we know what he has done for us. And we pray that each and every one of us will know that for ourselves this morning. But what we have been considering in our midweek Bible studies, and what this particular chapter, or these chapters in this portion of the book speak of, is the great difference between the God of Israel and the false gods of the nations around Israel, and particularly in this chapter, the gods of Babylon. Now, many of you will know, particularly those who come on Wednesdays, that the Jews would be taken into captivity by the Babylonians at 586 BC. They were taken into captivity. They were in Babylon for 70 years. And the Lord says to them, when you go to Babylon, you will see many idols, many gods that the Babylonians worshipped. But the Lord says, do not fear them. They are nothing at all. They are idols of wood and stone. It is only the God of Israel who is the true and living God. And he explains this time and time again. We read this together We just look at verse 20, for example, assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image, that's the idol, and pray unto a God that cannot save. Well, this is what the Babylonians would do. They would cry unto a God that cannot save, a God that, well, they may have ears painted on them, but they cannot actually hear. And they may have eyes, but they cannot actually see. They are idols of wood and stone. But the God of Israel is infinitely greater and different. He is the one who sees us, even to the very heart of us, even to the very soul of us. He is the God who hears us, even those cries that we don't even utter with our mouths. He can hear those. He is the true and living God. These idols, they are nothing. And the people who worship them, they pray to a God who cannot even hear them or do anything to save them. And so this was the great contrast that is being presented here. The gods of Babylon, yes, Babylon is a great nation, but their gods are nothing. And Babylon themselves will be nothing at all. But those who trust in the Lord, they will prevail. That is the great message of the book of Isaiah, and particularly in these chapters. And this is what the Lord is saying here. Don't take any heed, don't pay any heed to those Babylonian gods. Look unto me. Look unto me and be ye saved. Not the false idols. Look unto me and be ye saved. For I am God and there is none else. And these words, well, they don't just apply, of course, to the Jews of Isaiah's time. They apply to every single one of us here, even in this day and age. Look unto me. This is the instruction. We are to look to the Lord. So this is my first exhortation. It's going to be a very simple message this morning. Have you ever looked to the Lord? Do you look to the Lord? Have you ever searched for the Lord? If you search for something, you have to look, of course. You have to seek. Have you ever sought the Lord? Have you ever found the Lord? Perhaps there are some people here or listening to this message. They have never sought the Lord. They have never looked to the Lord. We live in a world where so many people, they don't look to the Lord. Of course not. You will know that we very regularly we go out, we knock on doors in this community, we invite people to come and to hear the gospel. We ask people, do they believe in God? And so many of them have not. They do not believe in God. They've never even thought about him. They've never considered him. They don't look to him at all. And they waste so much time looking to other things. Anything else? Well, there's so much we can spend time on in this world. So many things in the arts, sciences, philosophy, sports, movies, music. People spend all their time looking into those things, the things of this world. But they never look to the Lord. They've never even thought about the Lord Jesus Christ, about the things of God. And this is what the Lord is saying here. Look unto me. That's the first instruction. That's the first exhortation. You must look to me. Why are you looking to everything else except me? That is the nature of man, of course. This is the rebellious nature of man that we read of in the scriptures. The fallen nature of man. He will spend time looking at all earthly things. Things that do not profit him anything at all, but he won't even take one glance at God. And that is a great tragedy. It's a terrible tragedy because, of course, let me put it to you in this way. All of the things that man really wants, all of the things that man desperately is looking for can only be found in God. Can only be found in God. What is man looking for? What are we all looking for as human beings? Let me give you some examples. We are looking for happiness. Of course we are. There's not a man, woman, or child on this earth who does not desire to be happy, who does not desire to have true joy. Where do you find happiness? Well, again, people look everywhere in this world for happiness. They try and they try and they try. They cannot find true happiness. Again, this is the great shame and tragedy of man. We look, this is our lifetime's work and endeavor. I want to be happy. I want to be fulfilled. I want to be content. And they can't find it. Why not? Because they don't look to God. They look to everything else. And it cannot fill them. You know, the only way to find true happiness, true contentedness, true fulfillment, it has to do with the soul. It has to do with the soul. Every single one of us, we have a soul. I say this very often. The most important part of us, we are not just body. We're not just flesh and blood, physical beings. We have a soul. And the soul must be blessed. The soul must be filled if we are to know true happiness. You can't know true happiness just by the body, pleasing the body. You see, this is where the world falls short. This world is very good at pleasing the body, making sure we all have great experiences and great pleasures and eat lots of wonderful, nice things and go on great holidays. These are all physical pleasures, pleasures for the body. But you cannot ever be fully satisfied unless the soul is full, unless the soul is blessed. Doesn't matter what experience you throw yourself into, there will always be that great emptiness within. Unless you know the Lord, the soul can only be filled by the Lord, by looking to Him, not to the world, by looking to Him, acknowledging Him, believing in Him. Then you will be full. Then the soul will be blessed. It's only God, the creator of the soul, who can fill the soul. Nothing that man can make, nothing that man can provide. And so this is just one example. Everyone is looking for happiness. You could only find it if you look to the Lord. There are other things, of course, that are even mentioned here. Strength. Well, we all need strength in this world. This world is full of challenges, difficulties. You don't need me to tell you all this. Many of you have to live with very great difficulties and issues in your lives. There are many temptations in this world all around us. Where do we find strength? Where do we find strength to cope with all these things? We must look to the Lord. You know, this is why we are such a weak society. You look around us, everything is so weak. Everybody is so weak. They can't cope with anything at all. You look at the government, it's weak. You look at people in power, they're weak. Why is it? Because nobody's looking to God anymore. God has been pushed out. Push God out of politics, out of education, out of the media. We won't want Him anymore. And what do you get? You get a weakened society. If we want strength, we have to look to the Lord. He is righteousness and strength. That's what He has written in His word. But it's because nobody looks to Him that we are all so weak. And well, if you want truth, where do you get truth? You're not going to get truth in this world. Of course not. Again, you could speak of the politicians at great length, but everybody in this world, all they have is their opinions. You will know much of my testimony, many of you. When I was seeking the Lord, what I was actually looking for was truth. Because all I was hearing around me was just people's opinions, what people thought life was all about, just their own ideas, their own imaginings about life and the world. But what was the truth about all of these things? Where do you look? Well, it's the Word of God. Look unto me, says the Lord. If you don't want to be deceived about life, about the world, about who God is, you have to look to Him. You have to look to the Word of God. Otherwise, you will always be living for things that are false, false principles, false ideals, things that are not actually true, things that just live in the minds of people. Dear friends, all of these things, these are the things we are looking for. Happiness, strength, truth. We're all looking for these things. You can only find them in the Lord. Look unto me. And this, well, I could go on. So many other things we're looking for. Peace, only find it in the Lord. Hope, you can only find it in the Lord. Light, the gospel brings light. We live in such a dark world. It's only when we look to the Lord that we can find light in this world. But dear friends, I think you get what I'm trying to say here. Look unto me. But let's move on in this verse. Look unto me and be ye saved. Time is almost out already. Be ye saved. Well, what does this mean? Well, to be saved, I'm going to try and put this as briefly as I can. To be saved is all about life. When you say somebody saved me, it normally means this person saved my life. And well, really, this is what the gospel is all about. It's about being saved, our lives being saved. It's about being led to everlasting life. It's about being saved from death. This is what the gospel is all about. Look unto me and be ye saved. Now, perhaps this is a reference, or at least the Israelites would have been reminded when they read these words of something that had occurred in the time of Moses. Look unto me and be ye saved. In the time of Moses, well, I'm not going to go into the whole account. You know all this very well, most of you. The children of Israel, they were brought out of slavery, out of Egypt, but they were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And when they were in the wilderness, they didn't behave themselves very well. They would very often complain, and they would very often murmur, and they would very often wish that they were back in Egypt. They were so ungrateful. They would say to Moses, "Why have you taken us out of slavery? Let us go back to slavery. We were doing much better there." This was the level of ungratefulness amongst the Israelites. So there was a time when the Lord, well, he chastised them. He sent serpents into their midst, and many people were bitten by the serpents, the fiery serpents, and many people died. But then, well, the people cried out for mercy, and God said to Moses, "Put up a serpent, a brass serpent, up on a pole. Lift up the brass serpent, and everyone who looks to the brass serpent will live." They are helpless. They will die if they don't look. If they look to the serpent, the one who is lifted up, then they will live. And dear friends, that was a picture, that was a prophecy of the gospel, of Christ. He is the one. When Moses lifted up the serpent on the pole, and so the Israelites would live, well, it was a picture of how Christ would one day be lifted up, and everyone who looked to him, the whole world, not just the Jews, they would live. You see, we are just like the Israelites. We are all sinners. And the punishment for sin, according to the Lord, is death. We will all die. Death is in the world because of sin, because of the sin of man. It started with Adam. Adam is the father of each and every one of us. He sinned, and we have inherited his curse. This is why we all die. But if we look to the Lord, if we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall live. This is what is written even in the New Testament, in the Gospel according to John, just as Moses was lifted up in the wilderness, so too will Christ be lifted up. He will be the one that we look to so that we do not perish, so that we do not die, but we have eternal life. We have everlasting life. John chapter 3. And of course, we have those words in John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This is the gospel, dear friends. Christ, the Son of God, has been sent. He went to the cross. He was lifted up. He suffered and died so that all who look to him shall not die. He has died in our place. We have sinned, and yet all of our sins were laid upon him. He is the only way of salvation. This is what it is to be saved. To be saved from death. Where else can you look to be saved from death, dear friends? I ask you the question, where else can you look? You can't look to men. You can't look to your doctor to be saved from death. Not the NHS. No medicine can save you from death. Where do we look? Look unto me, says the Lord. Look unto me and be ye saved. This is not something that men can do. It's only the true and living God can save you from death so that you have everlasting life. And so this is what a Christian believes in. A Christian has no fear of death. Yes, we will die in the body one day, but we know our souls will go to be with the Lord. Everlasting life and light and peace and joy. So, dear friends, you must come. Look unto me and be ye saved. All the ends of the earth. Well, we often say this. Every single one of us, not just the Jews, the gospel would go out to the whole world. No matter who you are, no matter where you are from, no matter whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're very elderly, you could be very elderly. You can still come. You may have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ a million times. You can still come. All the ends of the earth, you can look to the Lord. And no matter how young you are, you're never too young to come to the Lord. I know in this church we don't baptize anybody until they're 18 just to be on the safe side. But we believe, of course, that you can come at any age, even a youngster, 4 years old, perhaps even younger. You can look to the Lord. Because to look, we haven't even spoken about this. It's so easy to look. Anybody can look. God is not asking you to do something hard. God is not asking you to go to the top of a mountain and be saved or do some great act of physical strength and endurance and then you can be saved. He's just asking you to look. Anybody can look. A child can look. A baby can look. Somebody on their deathbed. They can still look and see something. Look unto me. This is the grace of God. You don't even have to do anything. Just look. But let me add this. I have to add this. You have to look with faith. Faith makes all the difference. You have to look and believe. You know, one illustration I was thinking of or that came to me when I was preparing. Some of you may remember that it was quite a big thing, these magic eye books. These magic eye books, what was a magic eye image? They'd be full of images, and when you looked at them, well, they wouldn't be anything special. They'd just be a series of dots. But the special thing about them was if you looked long enough at the dots, well, then there would be a great picture that would appear. You just had to stare at it. And then after a while, the picture that was previously just some random dots, there'd be a beautiful picture, an animal or something. You know, this is how we look at the Lord. You may come into this church and you may think, the Lord is nothing. What is the Lord to me? But if you just look with faith, then something beautiful, something glorious will come into sight. Then your Savior will appear. You will see him. You will see him. This is the one. This is the one who is my Savior. This is the one who has died for me. He's died for me even though he knows all of my sins, even though I'm a sinner. He has loved me even though he knows all the wicked secrets of my heart. Suddenly Christ will appear as your Savior who loves you with an everlasting love. But you have to look with faith, dear friends. Seek the Lord. Pray for faith. Say, I want to see Christ as my Savior. I don't want to see him just as somebody who has nothing to do with me. A Savior for somebody else, but not for me. Keep looking at the Lord. This is what I advise you. This is what I plead with you. If you don't know the Lord, keep looking to him until he appears as your Savior. He will. But you must keep looking and seek that faith. Dear friends, the Lord is not asking you to do something hard. Look, anyone can do it. All the ends of the earth can do this. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Well, we haven't got time to speak about that last part, but he is the only way of salvation. Don't look to the things of men for salvation, just as the Israelites were taught. Don't look to the gods of Babylon. They are made by men. We are taught, don't look to the things of men for your salvation. Look to God. He is the only way. There is none else. You can trust in the Lord. The Lord has given us the gospel so that you can surely be saved. You can surely find true happiness, true peace, true joy. Men will lie to you. Men will say, do this and you can be happy. Or do that and you will find true peace. Or do this, you will find true contentment. But we're always let down. This is God speaking to us. He will not lie to us. He is God. There is none else. You can turn to him and you can trust him. He will lead you to life forevermore. May the Lord bless these words to us.